ask you is what is his legacy as a leader for Singapore?
Well, I think first and foremost is basically what he has achieved for Singapore. I mean, Singapore today is really his legacy. Of course, not just him, but the people he worked with in that first generation leadership in the late 1960s onwards. But really, this idea that he managed to take a backwater island from third world status to first world status, financial center, technology hub, in a generation, little over a generation, I think is really the crowning achievement of his entire adult life. But I think over and above that, I think his legacy is not just confined to what he has achieved in Singapore, remarkable as it is, but also internationally. I mean, he is widely seen as an international statesman, despite the fact that he was prime minister of a very small country. His views on regional issues, especially, for example, U.S.-China relations, have been sought by world leaders everywhere, including from Beijing, from Washington as well. And not just his views, but the way that he conducted diplomacy through the difficult years of the Cold War, when he was prime minister of a small country in Southeast Asia that was basically in a region that was plagued by the Cold War, and there was the Vietnam War, there were other sorts of communist insurgencies going on. It required very deft diplomatic handling of issues, and I think he stood out head and shoulders above many other regional leaders in that respect. So I think these two would be his main legacies.
Right, absolutely. I was just going to ask, I particularly want to focus on his influence on the Chinese leaders. You know, as you mentioned, you know, his advice and his views on many things are sought after by international leaders, including Chinese leaders like Deng Xiaoping, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, his Asian model, you know, I'm sure you're aware that a lot of Chinese leaders take Singapore as a model that they should follow. So, yeah, can you talk about that? Like, you know, he's the Asia model. Why the Chinese are particularly, they like to think that they like to emulate Singapore?
Yeah. Well, the first thing I will say is there really isn't a Singapore model, actually. And to the extent that there is, it wasn't deliberate. Singapore, Mr. Lee Kuan Yew and the others who helped him create the Singapore of today, did not set out with a very clear idea of what they want and then subsequently try to sell that idea internationally. So that was never the objective. Insofar as Singapore has a model, I think the main features is not just economic growth and development, which is, of course, obvious, but also social and political stability. Of course, that has come at a price, and the price being various curtailment of civil liberties, political liberties, the political climate, as many critics have argued, is not an open one. But nevertheless, in the unique strategic circumstances that Singapore faces, these were seen as the necessary trade-offs for stability and growth. Now, these circumstances are unique to Singapore. You know, they're very different in the case of China, right? Let alone the country. I mean, even the provinces and cities, major cities, let alone the vast country of China. So it's not a model that is easily replicated. But having said that, you're absolutely right that the Chinese have always been interested in various aspects of the Singapore model, especially economic development, while at the same time maintaining a more sort of calibrated control of the political sphere. This is something that the Chinese are working on very closely, very intently today. And they have, many Chinese leaders have sought the views of Mr. Lee Kuan Yew on this issue. And Mr. Lee has said many times before that he's always been very happy to engage with the Chinese leaders, not in the sense of preaching to them or lecturing them on what needs to be done, but certainly to try to convey to them the view that China is a growing power economically, politically, strategically, and because of that, China needs to be aware of certain things, for example, the pace of their development and the implications that has on the region, Chinese assertiveness and the implications that will have on the region, and various matters to that effect. So, and I would like to think that the Chinese leaders have taken Mr. Lee's views on board and very seriously.
Right. You mentioned about his critics. We all know his authoritarian way of running things. I wonder, within Singapore, how do people view his style of leadership? You can say it's like a dynasty, right? His son now is the prime minister. I mean, there are also criticisms, of course. I mean, Singapore, the opposition parties have all been made the case, and I think internationally we've also seen that kind of cases. So how is he viewed domestically by people?
Well, I think the views are quite divided. I think if you talk to people of a younger generation, people who are in their 20s today, many of them were born after Lee Kuan Yew stepped down as prime minister and took a back seat in Singapore politics. The younger generation will be a bit more critical and questioning of what Singapore has become, especially with regards to issues of liberties and things like that. I think the older generation will be more appreciative of what Lee Kuan Yew did, what he said needed to be done, in order to catapult Singapore to a particular level of development. I think that the question of his impact on politics is one that would continue to define much of national discussion in many years to come, even after he passes on. And I think, to his credit, he does realize that the Singapore today or Singaporeans today have very different demands, very different requirements, very different worldviews than their forefathers. Right? And so the party which he had led for a long time, the PAP, needs to adjust accordingly to these people. To these new aspirations. And to be fair to him, he has allowed the party, even through the 90s when he was formally retired as Prime Minister, but obviously still involved in Singapore politics, still involved in the party. He was very aware of the need to let the new generation of leaders to take the lead in terms of recalibrating the party in accordance to the needs in accordance to the new aspirations of a new generation of Singaporeans. So I think we need to bear that in mind as well.
Right. I actually had a chance to meet with him when I was, working in the Chinese Foreign Ministry. That was, I think, in 1992, many years ago. And I have a great admiration for him. But, of course, I didn't have a chance to talk with him, like, in depth. Have you had any chance to talk with him in person? And what was he like as a person?
Unfortunately, I never had that chance. Yeah, one regret in my life.
right. I mean, I wonder what did he say about his critics, authoritarianism and all that.
Yeah. Well, if you look at what his public statements, if you look at his memoirs, he's made one thing very clear. He doesn't care too much for his critics. His governing principle is very Machiavellian in the sense that he knows that there's a job to be done. He goes about doing the job the way he believes is best, without fear or favor, and without giving much thought to public opinion. You know, so surveys, public opinions, let alone criticisms, these don't factor as far as his calculations are concerned. So he has no problems with you know, being criticized. His response is very clear. You know, the Singapore system has to be unique. He always believed that because of our unique geopolitical circumstances. And he believes that his track record of delivering for Singapore, both in terms of politics and in terms of economics, is there for all to see. So I think he has he's always had very little time for critics, whether from within Singapore or indeed foreign criticisms as well.
Right, right, absolutely. Right, yeah. I wonder if you have anything else to say about him.
Well, I mean, I think Singapore is reaching a very interesting point in its development, in the sense that with the you know, when Mr. Lee Kuan Yew passes on, it really is the end of a particular chapter in Singapore's history, because Mr. Lee is probably the last surviving member of that core team that brought Singapore on the path of independence from August 1965 onwards. Many of his colleagues had passed on before him. So indeed, it is a new chapter. It's not so much a new chapter, but closing that chapter of Singapore history. But in truth, Singapore has, in a sense, been in the post Lee Kuan Yew era for some time really. I know a lot of people have the view that Mr. Lee continued to assert a very strong presence and play a very significant role in national affairs even after his retirement. I think that was the case in the early years after his retirement, but as time went by, as I mentioned earlier, he saw the need to allow the second and subsequently third generation leaders to take on these issues and to cut their teeth, you know, working on these issues for the people. So he very consciously and very deliberately took a step back. And so we've been thinking about Singapore post Lee Kuan Yew, Singapore without Lee Kuan Yew for a number of years already. No, but having said that, you know, he is still one of the founding fathers of Singapore. So, indeed, it would be a sad day, I think, for all Singaporeans.
Of course. Now, do you think the Singaporeans are ready for the post Lee Kuan Yew era?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, because in the past years, as you mentioned, I do think that he's deliberately kept a low profile. So maybe as a way to prepare people.
I mean, there's a saying that one swallow does not make a summer, so some version of that saying. You know, so basically, you know, one person does not define the history and the future of an entire nation, no matter how big and consequential a role that person has played in the history of the country. So indeed, it's a sad day, but I don't think that Singapore will still go on after Lee Kuan Yew passes on, and I believe that he will want nothing less.
Right. So are you going back to Singapore? Does that have anything to do with the fact that... does that have anything to do with...
Oh, no. It's just coincidence. I planned this trip some time ago already, so it's just a coincidence.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Professor Liao. Now,
thank you.
How do you translate your title into Chinese, Lee Kuan Yew Chair?
Well, I don't know, you know.
You don't know?
Yeah, I never thought of it.
Yeah, because it's the Chinese is kind of, we don't really have kind of similar.
Yeah, I know. The chair.
Thing. Okay.
Boss law, I suppose, is like a professor of.
I will think of a way of her
translating. I'll leave it
that.
To you.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Enjoy your time. How long are you going to stay in Singapore?
Just about a week or so. Then I'll be back.
You'll be back. Okay,
yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate
it.
And have a safe trip.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.